Let's go to John chapter 1. So I was hijacked into this. I didn't want to go on this journey. I was invited, said no, invited again, said yes, but really didn't want to go. And as the time kept on coming forward, I talked to a number of you and asked you to pray for me because I was afraid I was going to an Obama hater rally. I really was. I didn't really know what I was signing myself up for. But what I did is I said yes, and if I hadn't have said yes and followed God's lead, I would have missed out on the transformation that God had in store for me. And it was a transforming kind of a thing. That is what's happening in the story that we're looking at in John chapter 1 today. These guys are the first four disciples that John records that are in the fold, if you will. And what we'll see in this passage, I want to give you the main idea, and I'm just going to read through it, and I'm going to try to do this in 20 minutes. I did it in the first service. I thought I was going to do it in 15, which would have been a miracle. It was only a partial miracle because it was just 20. But that's what I'm giving this here. So I'm going to go fast and hit hard, but I think that you'll understand why. So what we're going to see here, we're talking about Andrew and Philip and Simon called Peter and Nathaniel and their calls into becoming apprentices of Jesus. And the main idea of this is that when Jesus reveals himself to you, he does so to invite you to join him, to follow him, to be his apprentice. And it's putting that another way, that God arrives at your address. That's what's happening here. And he reveals himself and calls you to follow him. And it will mean it will be a call into something, a different kind of life. And it will become a call out of something, a former kind of life. Does that make sense to you? And so that's where this is going. It's not a real hard sell. It's right here at the very beginning of the book of John. Now, here's where I'm going with this so that you know why I would be preaching this. I believe that Jesus is calling followers to himself, apprentices. He's not calling converts. Conversion is just is the on-ramp into the kingdom highway, the kingdom superhighway. It's but the whole of Christianity is about becoming an apprentice of Jesus, not about becoming just somebody who attends church. And so God is calling us into that apprentice relationship with himself, where he leads and we follow. We put our entire trust into him, and put all of our eggs in his basket, our entire trust in him. That's where we're going with this message. Now, this is a transition. We started with the high concepts in John of word and life and creator and all of these different really big time, abstract, but very powerful truths that are the foundations of our faith. Then we move from that into John the Baptist's witness to Jesus and who he is. And John's stamp of approval is very significant in the early witness of who Jesus is. And John prepares people for Jesus' arrival. That brings us now to now all this has an address. Now this is in people's lives. Now Jesus is coming into people's lives in the real. I want you to notice two things as we read this, and I'll read and make comment. One, there's a bunch of different titles that Jesus is given. Notice those things. And then secondly, I want to ask that you would, as we read through this, that you would also look for what is Jesus asking these guys to do? What is he asking these guys to do? So let's read starting at verse 35 of John 1. If you're in 1 John, you won't find it there. The next day, John was there again. This is the same place at the Jordan with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now, as we saw last week, Lamb of God is a rich set of metaphors that goes underneath that. The primary one being that there would be a lamb that the high priest would put his hands on and transfer the sins and the guilt of the sins of all the people onto that lamb. That lamb was killed as a substitution, as a sacrifice in the place of the sinners. That would be you and me. So he looks at a man and says, the Lamb of God, this is the guy who's going to actually take your and my place. Your sins are all going to be piled up and put on him, all of them, and he's going to take the punishment rightfully yours and rightfully mine. Lamb of God. In verse 37, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Now, looked to me, at least on first glance, that these guys are sort of turncoats, you know, that they're John's disciples, and all of a sudden, Jesus, you know, squirrel, and they go with Jesus on this. But it isn't that way at all. John has been saying, I'm preparing you for the one that's coming after me. And so it makes sense that when, with all of that preparation, that John says, it's him, and they go with him. turning around, as these guys are following Jesus, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What are you seeking?" Not germane to the whole discussion, but it's a good question to ask of any of us at any point in time. What are you seeking? What does your life say that you're seeking? They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said, "Come and you will see." Now remember those words, "come and see." Remember those? "Come and see, come and see." The woman at the well, remember her? She says at the end, "Come and see the man who told me everything that I ever did. Come and see, come and see, come and see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that night with him, and it was about 4 p.m. So it's interesting here because you've got these guys that are sort of, they're sort of testing the water, if you will. They go with Jesus, but they're not all in yet. And that's the way that it normally goes with most of us, is that you kind of swoop toward Jesus in your process, and you might not be ready to make the full commitment. But Jesus is still really patient with you in that whole thing, because you consider, he becomes real and you consider what it means to follow him, and it's like, "I am not sure. Okay, I'm all in." And that's what these guys did. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those, one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Again, important word here, followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, Peter, Simon. He said, "You are Simon, son of John. But you will be called Kephas or Cephas," which means Peter. Now, you know, not everybody in this whole equation gets a new name, but everybody gets a new identity. But Peter actually gets a new name. And this is a hard word actually to translate, because it literally means rocky. You'll be called Rocky. Yo, Adrian. You know, you'll be called Rocky. And the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. And he, remember, he's at the Jordan. He's heading up to Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me. Follow me." And Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, here it's important to stop for a second and say that John is in their testimony is introducing a whole bunch of titles of Jesus that he's going to fill in those concepts as he goes in his book so far. But these guys are naming Jesus, not really knowing exactly what they mean. But what this particular one is they see that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything the law is and all the prophets that they wrote. So all of our Old Testament, Jesus is the fulfillment of those things. That makes sense? That's what they were anticipating. Now, so he says, the one that the law and the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And to me, this I hear Nathanael saying this in sort of a North Jersey voice, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" You know, kind of thing. It's just a weird question. A weird thing for him to say. Philip says, "There again, come and see." And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nothing false. It doesn't mean that he's always right. It doesn't mean that he's sin-free. It just means that what's on the outside and on the inside is the same. And that's not always consistent with most human beings. And Jesus, and Nathanael asked, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "I saw you when you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Now, this is significant for this particular occasion because obviously Jesus has some knowledge that other humans aren't privy to, that he has, and you could say this is a word of knowledge, or I don't know, this is omniscient God, whichever one it is. Jesus has knowledge that he's not presently privy to. He has knowledge beyond just normal human capacity. And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So obviously he's impressed. And he opens up his heart, and he declares these things. And Jesus, I can see Jesus with a big smile on his face. He says, "You believe because I told you that you are under a fig tree. Well, you will see greater things than that." Now remember, later on, Jesus says in John 14:12, he says, "Because I'm going to the Father, you'll do the same things I'm doing, like raise the dead, heal the sick, all those different kind of things, preach good news to the poor, all these different things. Because I'm going to the Father, you'll see greater things than these. So you're going to see greater things than that. John 5 echoes a similar sort of thing. So this is what following me is going to mean. That's the net of that. And then he added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And that's another title that Jesus calls himself. Again, I'm on a short timetable here, so I'm not going to explain that a whole lot. I might write something and put it in the bulletin next week. But basically what you see is these four disciples are just coming up to something very large and trying to describe it. It's like walking up to an elephant with a blindfold on and saying, "What is this?" And so the people that touch the leg, it's like, this is very big. The people that touch the underside thing, it's like, I don't know, it's up in the air, or it's up in the air. And somebody grabs a trunk and they're trying to describe it. All of these different names are these guys trying to get a grip on who Jesus is in accordance with what was promised. So what we see basically for them is that they have an inkling of who Jesus is, and they're about to find out much more as they make the commitment. It's the come in, it's the believe, come in, that introduces you to being able to see. You have to come in order to see. You can't stay and see. You have to get out of your boat. You have to get out of your way. You have to get out of your present situation. If you want to walk in this, you have to get out instead of just saying, I just want to stay where I am and see. No, you have to get out. So what do we see? I don't want to make two observations of this, and then I'll close. Firstly, Jesus reveals something about himself. He reveals himself to these people. And even though they don't know, they don't get it completely, it's enough to draw them to him. The whole purpose is that the Father is drawing people to Jesus. That's the whole enchilada right here. That's what John wants us to get, that these people are being drawn to Jesus. Each revelation draws them to him. "Look, the Lamb of God," from John the Baptist. "Andrew," "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Philip," to Nathan, to Nathaniel. "The one who Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets wrote about," Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathaniel, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." And then Jesus brings clarity more than anyone. "I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man," actually, is what he says. He says, "Son of Man," which we'll get to as we go into the book of John further. What's being said? Well, Jesus is the answer. Whichever one of these guys, whatever place that they are, Jesus is that answer to them. But their angle isn't the same. And the message isn't always the same to them. But the end result is that they follow him. Does that make sense to you? So God reveals himself to you, and it does something to you, and it invites you in. It draws you closer to him. I was a junior in college and started attending Calvary Chapel. Yes, I attended a Calvary Chapel in Denver. And as we would start to worship, we sang songs about the love of the Father and some things like that, and I just started to weep. I mean, crazy. I mean, I think, am I going crazy? And we would sing these songs, and I would cry more and more. And what dawned on me, actually I had to have somebody sort of frame it for me, was that God was revealing his fatherly love to me, and it was something that my soul craved but was completely illiterate with. And as I became more literate, it crushed me, it overwhelmed me, it melted me, it changed me. But in that revelation that God was giving of himself to me, it was an invitation to know him and to move further into him. Each one of those things. And that's what the congressman at the worship service that we attended, over time after time, Jesus revealed himself to me. I trusted him. He moved me into a whole different path than I was looking to. I trusted Jesus. He moved into a whole different direction. I trusted Jesus. He revealed himself to me. Every single one of them. Same story. Jesus is, and he continues to do that. I had been a Christian for, at that point in time, what, 8, 9 years? And yet the love of the Father had not really broken through. But in worship, and that happens with you sometimes, doesn't it? In worship, you sing something and all of a sudden you just start to melt. And you guys, you might be embarrassed. You know, it's like, oh, I'm tearing up and everything. Oh. I'm really great. I'm really great with tears and the whole thing. But because I think it's what real manhood is. Is part of real manhood. But the idea here is that God will continue to reveal himself to you to move you further on the journey. Is that clear? Further on the journey. And then lastly here, that whenever Jesus reveals himself, it is an invitation to know him, to join him, to follow him, and to become his apprentice, more and more and more and more. A disciple is not somebody who attends discipleship classes. A disciple is someone who follows a person and who knows that person and whose trust is in that person and who walks with that person. That's discipleship. It's not, it's being an apprentice with someone. So if you want to learn how to weld boats under the water, you have to apprentice with that. And you have to get on your gear and go under the water with somebody who knows how to weld, and do fixes on ships underneath the water. And you have to learn how to use all the equipment. You have to give yourself to that process, to own that skill, to become a welder. Does that make sense? And so to say that we are disciples of Jesus is not just to attend a Bible study. It is a total commitment of your whole life. And that is what Christianity is all about. It's not about adding Jesus into your life. It's about having Jesus become all of it. And the funny thing is that when he does, you become more of who you are, not less. You give up everything to Jesus, and you become more of who you're supposed to be, not less of who you're supposed to be. It's the kingdom of God. It's awesome. I think it's awesome. I love the way that Dallas Wheeler describes this apprenticeship idea. And I think he nails this probably as the champion of this. The greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who, by profession or culture, are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ, steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens in every corner of human existence. Every corner of human existence. Not some and not some, but every corner. So a couple of bullet points, yea, even five. All right, of this. And now I want to close. And Seth, if you come up here, it will keep me accountable. So come up here. Firstly, what's being said here, what do we observe? That they will spend lots of time with Jesus. Following him will mean lots of time with the Master. It will. There's no way around it. You can't become a disciple without spending time with the Master. They'll spend lots of time with him. They will leave their old ways behind. They're leaving something. That's the clear implication is they're leaving one thing to go after another. And that's both for all of us. And I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian. I haven't even counted, but I mean 40-something years. And I'm still in this following hunt. I'm still on this journey. God's still revealing himself to me. I'm still re-upping and saying, I want to follow you today. I want to be your apprentice today. I'm not just light-dutying this and trying to add you to my already busy schedule. I want you to be my busy schedule and help me to order my busy schedule in a different way. Thirdly, that they will learn to know him and his ways. They will know who he is. They'll get to know him. He'll get in their face. Honestly, he does. But they get to know his ways. You know, they're like, oh, you know, people are trying to bring their children to Jesus. And he says, and the disciples are like, shoo these kids away. I mean, they're so inconvenient. And Jesus is like, no, let the little children come to me. And his ways are so different from ours. And so he will, going with this fourth point, he will challenge their thinking and their ways right and left. So signing up for this is to sign up to say, okay, you can edit this anytime that you want to. And there will be times where the Lord is really editing things with you. He will be saying, I want to address that. And you'll be saying, how about not that? Lord, I'll do anything that you want me to, just not this, you know. And he'll go, what's that you're holding behind your back there? I want that. Well, what about all this other stuff, Lord? I mean, this is all really good stuff. And he's like, no, I want that. He'll address these things with you. But it's not because he says, I want to be your killjoy forever. No, it's because I want to free you up so that you're not imprisoned by all these things that you think will fill you up, but that don't, that only imprison you. So Jesus calls us and challenges our thinking. And the last thing, and the summation of this is why? Well, in time, you and I will do the same things that he did for the same reasons he did them. That's the point. The point isn't that at the end of all of this, that you apply yourself to this Christian journey, and in the end of things, you're going to look like a male Jewish man from the first century with a beard and long hair. Obviously, you know that's not what being like Jesus means, right? It means your character and the things that go on inside of you are matching the things that are going on inside of him, and then your actions come out of that match. That there's a consistency. Then you become an American in whom there's nothing false. The same thing is on the inside as on the outside. And so the question to conclude here is, are you a follower of Jesus? Are you an apprentice? Or are you a fan? Fans just go, yay, Jesus, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo, you know, and yay, he did some great stuff, and ooh, baby, you know, and that stuff. And there's lots of fans in America. There's lots of fans of Jesus. It's like, oh, he's a good teacher. He's great. He died for my sins and all these different things. But they're not followers. Are you a follower? Jesus is the one who's extending the invitation to you. And perhaps you've walked with Christ for a long time, but you really have not ever done this. You've never said, okay, I pledge myself to follow you. Jesus says, come, and you'll see. Come and follow me. You say, okay. No more swooped in, no more near misses. Nope, I'm not a fan, I'm a follower. That's the invitation that Jesus is giving this morning. Will you follow him? Would you please follow him? This is the invitation. These guys were nobodies, and they changed the world. Let's stand.